everybody. This is William Del Pilar, and this is Fired Up, your source for Friday night conservative talk. And I'm here with the main man, G. Mangani. And we've got a pretty good show for you tonight. We'll discuss the tragedy that is the Minneapolis shooting that saw a transgender filled with hate through indoctrination, probably drugs. We're going to talk about that. And just plain old mental instability. That's my words. We don't know for sure, but it all seems as to have come together that way. Then we're going to break down America on the rise. We'll discuss in detail Trump's many successes that we just heard about this past week through the White House press briefer and the left and how they just simply deny it. And those with TDS flat out lie about it. We're going to talk energy prices are down. Crime is down. Border crossings are way down. And despite the hate, President Trump still extends the olive branch. But before we begin, don't forget to bookmark grumblingsmedia.com. And hey, we got new swag. We got shirts and mugs. And follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify under the handle Grumblings Media. And if you are listening right now, please hit that thumbs up. G-Man, how you doing?
Good. I think we also have mugs and t-shirts. Not just t-shirts and mugs, but mugs and t-shirts.
Exactly. Well, G, our first topic tonight is going to be the Minneapolis church shooting tragedy that happened obviously just a few days ago, August 27th. It was a horrific shooting at Annunciation is how you say it in Spanish, Annunciation. But I'm sure Americans say Annunciation Catholic Church in Minneapolis. That left two children dead, 17 injured as of the time I wrote up my notes during a back-to-school mass. The attacker was a former student with deep-seated grudges, ideological venom, and a personal connection to the school through family. It was a he who identified as a she who had his name changed to a she. And she was known to authorities, yet red flags were ignored again, including disturbing online posts, a manifesto, and prior behavioral warnings. Her writings revealed a toxic mix of personal regret, racial hatred, and gender identity confusion, culminating in a meticulously planned act of violence. The attack exposed the fallout from unchecked identity crisis, cultural erosion, and systemic inaction of convergences that enabled the carnage. Faith communities now face the burden of spiritual healing. And how do you spiritual heal when you are praying and convince a kid to still believe in God after something like that? Their work is cut out for them. They also have to deal with the burden of physical security. And while survivors, especially children, carry these lifelong trauma, again, their work is cut out. The atrocity demands a reckoning, not just with the shooter's motives, but with the institutions that failed to intervene, the ideologies that fueled her rage, and the systems that allowed it to happen. Without direct confrontation and bipartisan resolve, this pattern of devastation will not just repeat, it will intensify. So, gee, there was a lot of anti-Trump content they discovered online, and this came through the online postings. Your thoughts on that before I ask you about the targeting?
Yeah, I mean, I think, first of all, condolences and thoughts and prayers, even though the mayor doesn't like that, thoughts and prayers go out to everyone who died or injured as a result of the shooting. I think anyone who is going to just indiscriminately shoot up people, they're clearly mentally deranged and have some kind of mental illness, just period, right? And they could hate left or right. I mean, it just, a lot of these shooters tend to be anti-right, but in this case, that's especially true, anti-Trump. But they're going to hate authority. They're going to feel out of control with their lives. Like they have no say in the world, and they're angered by, especially by this anti, you know, the TDS media amping up what Trump is doing. And I, just a lot of my friends who are on the left, they're saying they feel depressed by it. And you can just imagine someone with a mental illness. We don't know whether the shooter was driven primarily by the anti-Trump thing, but That could be, that obviously was a factor that was, you know, on the gun said, and unalive Donald Trump, right? I know this is on YouTube, right. So unalive Donald Trump. So clearly that was part of the motivation, but yeah, there's mental derangement there, and we'll get into all the trans stuff, but you know,
I mean, some of the quotes, G, were, I quote, "I know I am not a woman, but I definitely don't feel like a man," unquote. Then another one, quote, "I am tired of being trans. I wish I never brainwashed myself," unquote. To the audience, I always send G the notes and all that and say, hey, I'm looking this direction. So, G, I'm going to throw a curveball at you. We've talked about parents, Democrats, progressives, the ideological, the indoctrination of confused kids and what it does. And this seems like one of those cases where if this is exactly what happened and this child had regrets. Your thought on this bigger picture of the Democrats pushing this ideological narrative, creating what we saw? This individual is the nightmare we have talked about happening, isn't it?
Yeah, so you know, put the trans side, the trans thing aside, there are plenty of shooters who are not trans, and they're mentally deranged based on, like I just said, the media fueling this narrative and people feeling out of control. So now you add in someone who is confused about their gender identity and just they don't even have control over themselves, right? They feel out of control with who they are, so they're going to lash out at people. So I think the primary motivation of this is this shooter attacked people that, or at least a organization that they knew, maybe people that they knew within that organization, that church, and maybe lashing back at, maybe someone made fun of him, her, or maybe, you know, she perceived being made fun of by certain people. Who knows? We don't know the facts yet, but clearly mentally unstable, and it's sad. It's very sad.
Right. Right. So we're going to talk about it a little bit later, but you're right. Most of these shooters are young, white, suburban kids, males. I'm not going to deny that, but every culture, every religion has had their share of shooters like this. But the reason I brought up
the ones that make it into the media. The ones that make it into the media.
That's true. And for the audience, real quick, on a side note, you'll be shocked how many criminals and thugs out there are deemed white. And you look at them and go, that's a brother. Well, that's a Latino. Damn, that's a white-looking Asian. You know, it's madness out there, the hate towards Anglos, you know. But the reason I brought up the transgender, we'll talk about it here in a little bit, is the fact that like 6 out of 7 or 5 out of the last 7 mass shootings have been transgenders. This is not normal. Something is happening. Once again, we have another easy target. Purposely targeting an easy target in the church. And this aligns with responses from most shooters from Aurora. Remember the Batman movie and the Aurora shooter? Well, why'd you do it? No guns zone. No, it was a no guns allowed zone, you know? This aligns with most of these, what these shooters say. Yeah, there were no guns there, so I knew I could take out as many as possible. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so a friend of mine posted on Facebook just yesterday, I think it was, and I don't recall where it was, but he said that there was a shooting 2 weeks ago. You never heard about it. You didn't hear about it because someone was shot, but the shooter was quickly killed by someone who actually had a firearm. So that was a hard target. Whether the shooter knew it was a soft or hard target or not, I'm sure didn't know that there was a gun there, but clearly they're targeting soft targets, right? So you're going to go after schools, churches, shopping centers, different places like that, because you don't want anyone firing back until you can accomplish your goal.
Right. Right. You know, I think it's typical. We have seen two nations outright say, I can't remember. I saw in an interview just last week that, they were talking to a Russian bigwig. This was some years back, and they said, you know, every country has contingency plans for being invaded or invading your enemy through mock war games. And every scenario that the Soviet Union had in invading the U.S. resulted in failure. And when asked why, he goes, because every individual has a weapon. You invade America. You're not fighting their army. You're fighting every single America. And history books have shown the Japanese were like, it's suicide. It's like, we have our kamikaze pilots, but it's sheer suicide. You have a better chance of living through a kamikaze pilot attack than you do invading America. I'm being facetious here, but you get my point. And guns are part of our fabric. They're never going to go away. And when you have a gun-free zone, all you're doing is inviting the psychopath to actually go into that zone. And to make it worse, G, you know, criminals will always find a way to get a gun. It really is that simple, don't you think?
Yeah, so there are more guns than people in this country, as the mayor of, I forget his name, Minneapolis. Right. I don't know if they have a... When there's a shooting, you must mention we must have gun control immediately. But, yeah, we do have more guns than people, and he said that, and that's true. So there's no way you can confiscate all of them. You can pay whatever you want for those guns, but you're not going to confiscate all of them, and most people are not going to turn them in. So you just have to live with it. I mean, it's delusional to think you're gonna collect 350 million guns. That's delusional.
Exactly. Exactly. There's not enough buyback programs. Gee, there were red flags. There were clear red flags. Westman was known to authorities because of the documented obsession with previous mass shooters. She was flagged online with the online writing. She had a manifesto. It was deranged fascination is a term I heard. Law enforcement had reviewed her digital footprint. So look, and then, you know, all this was known. And what happens? The mental health experts, the left, come and sit there and say, if you sit there and talk about mentally ill, you're deflecting moral accountability. They're shielding our society from protecting us from these types of individuals. Now, here's a kicker that most people don't understand. I see their point. This is a drastic step. If nobody's done something and you go there and accuse them and yet they've done nothing, we're kind of infringing on their rights. So I don't think there's an answer, but you give it a shot. How do we prevent this when we see warning signs, yet want to give them allow them to have their rights still?
I mean, anyone like the movie Minority Report? I mean, I'm watching the movie. You're sitting there going, okay, so Tom Cruise is arresting this guy for something he's thinking about?
Oh, yeah.
Right? And I think they could see the future, actually, right? So they know that he's going to commit this, so that's different. But can you arrest someone and charge them for thinking about a crime? And just think about whatever crime that is. And I'm sure most of us, I mean, I'll tell you, I've looked at, you know, when I was a kid, I looked at 7-Eleven, saw the beef jerky and said, man, I wish I could just take that. I just don't have the money right now. So there's a thought of a crime. So should I have been thrown in juvie for that? I didn't steal the beef jerky. So, no. And I think the one thing you can do is say, okay, take reports of an individual seriously, right? If someone's reporting them and just say, do you need mental health? And try to offer them these psychological screenings and all that. But in the end, if they haven't shot anyone or they haven't tried to, then they're not a shooter until they are. So that's the problem.
Exactly. It's tough. But what I will push back against is Democrats and these faux experts. I'm wrong. They're actual legitimate experts, but they've taken a side and they give a bias and they defend this person and they don't care about the dead. I'm sick and tired of the left using the dead, because what do they do? Gee, they pivot to Rahm Emanuel's favorite belief. I think it was Rahm Emanuel. Never let a good crisis go to waste. And they immediately pivot. They're saying it's not mental health. It's not transgender. It's guns. No, you freaking bleeping moron. It is guns. Guns. Cars aren't killing people in an auto accident. You know, drugs aren't the reason for overdoses. It's the people taking the drugs. It's the people driving the cars. It's the people using guns to shoot. So they immediately lie. They take a side to protect the mentally ill. And so I do condemn that because, gee, even classmates said Robin was, quote, off, unquote, as if something wasn't right there. All the signs were there. I don't know what we need to do. Maybe intervention. I think we're going to have to look at some way to create, society's going to have to create an intervention, whether through the parents and the schools, because that's the ones who tend to have most contact. But something's going to have to be done. That, or more importantly, you just had the armed security, and we're going to get that to that next. But real quick, on these so-called mental experts saying, leave that mentally disturbed child alone.
Okay, so parked cars don't cause accidents, right? Accidents are caused by cars that are moving and people are behind the wheel. And then if that accident happens, the insurance rates go up on the person, not on the car. So it's absurd to think that, one, it's the guns that kill people, not the people. And two, everyone who goes on a mass shooting, I don't care what they are, trans, left, right, or whatever, they're mentally ill and deranged, and we got to call it for what it is. And, you know, those in the high-risk group, we've got to especially pay more attention to if we can identify them. But, again, it's hard to know until they actually do something. So we have to call out mental illness for what it is. And if they're mentally ill, then that's a problem.
I agree. Yeah. Gee, give me your thoughts on Mayor Fry's statement pretty much bending. I mean, look, I'm not going to lie. Mayor Fry's as feminine as they come. You know, the guy's on his knees for every Democrat cause, yet he hates Christians and he condemned thoughts and prayers. Maybe if we had a little bit more people with thoughts and prayers, these type of things wouldn't happen. Give me your thoughts on him. And then give me your thoughts on the hypocrisy of soft targets. Soft targets being schools, being churches, banks have security. Supermarkets have security. Retail outlets have security. And before, G, I get your answer, I'm going to give my 2 cents on the security. When my country of birth, Panama, when a just cause happened, when the Americans invaded chaos, it was just chaos for 2 or 3 days. Well, within that time span, the retail outlets hired security. This wasn't security like the good old USA, some old fat guy with a sidearm. These guys were carrying autos, rifles, and they were like this, ready to use. There was not one damn robbery at any of those stores once those security guards, and they weren't roaming in the background. They were out in the open, walking around. You clearly saw them when you went in. No robberies. That's how Panama controlled, the business owners controlled the situation to protect themselves, their customers, and their stores. I'm not going to lie. We need that, and I'm sick and tired. What are you going to tell a child? He's there to protect you, son. He's your friend. That's what I'm going to tell a child, you more. CGI, get on these rants. Your thoughts. Bring the calmness to the show.
I Googled donut shop robberies, and I don't see any results. I kid. I love the police. It's a stereotype. But look, where the police are, criminals are not going to go there and commit a robbery. They're going to go to a place where there's no one there to provide any response back that's deadly. So I think it's a good thing. So you're talking about churches, supermarkets, and all that. Private institutions, they have to provide their own security, right? So they can request the police to arrive or whatever, but they should just hire their security. Now, public schools, now this is a private school, but public schools would need some kind of political response to provide, you know, police visibility or whatnot. That would harden a target just with a police car in front of the school. Now, they might not be able to respond if the person's coming from the back or whatnot. They might not respond quickly enough, but I think that's a great thing. And that doesn't mean the cop with the gun has to be on campus. They can just be right in the parking lot. And that might be enough to deter a lot of these shooters. Again, but going back to the private, well, that's up to them. I mean, I hope the government's not going to stop them from protecting themselves. And I know of a church they did have, and he was plainclothes security guy, but he was strapping every time he came to church, and it wasn't because he wanted to respond to anything if there was ever an incident.
Right. All right, G, talk to me about the mainstream media bias. You've seen it, watching it, CNN. They're all of them are clearly downplaying the mental instability of this child. The fact we're going to talk about here in a moment, of all the drugs he was likely on, the fact he's just a nut job, you know? But here's one that really got me, and that was an ABC News Aaron Katursky reported that the shooter's rifle had Trump inscribed on it. And then he went on to the next topic. What he was trying to imply, people, is that it was a Trump supporter. You know, it didn't say that. It said something more like hate Trump. You know, it had a lot of vile writings just on the rifle alone. But your overall take on, once again, the mainstream media failing to do its job. And secondly, the mother's not cooperating. To the audience, this may shock you, but this is where the libertarian in me comes out. When the cops come up to you in a scenario like this, get a lawyer. You cannot trust the cops. They are not there to help you. You may want to help, but they will twist everything because their job is to find somebody to blame them. You know, if not, eventually the pressure goes on to the cops. Why aren't you doing your jobs? You know, and that's human nature. So I don't fault the mother for lawyering up, but I hope she eventually comes forward to help figure this out. Your thoughts on those two topics?
Yeah. So the two firearms, or maybe there are three, but one of them said, unalive the kids, ha, 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 ha. And then the other one said, unalive Donald Trump. And then the reporter just said, well, the gun had Donald Trump's name on it, which, yeah, like you said, made it sound like this is a MAGA person. So the media, I mean, they've been focusing more on the gun control side of this thing. And I even heard one commentator said, we need to understand the shooter's background and history growing up in order to sympathize with the person. How crazy is that? Because the person's trans. So now, you know, you ever see that meme of the superhero with the two buttons? It's like, what do we focus on? The gun control or the trans thing? Like, the media is confused on how to respond to this. So, but as far as a mother, I counsel, as much as I love the police, I would always counsel anybody, don't say a word and just say, I want my lawyer present. I'll answer questions then. Because you're right. The police are just looking for a quick resolution. They got a ton of caseloads. They're trying to find the quick and easy answer. And that's just human nature. You just want to get through the workload as quickly as possible. So I don't fault the mother for doing that. I don't know what the mother thinks about everything. And I wouldn't be surprised if the mother says, my child's innocent. The gun just kind of randomly shot itself. I mean,
well, her mother's complicit in my eyes. Based on the information out there, her mother's complicit. These parents, you know, there's no course on how to be a parent. And we're seeing a lot of bad parenting. A lot of, you just don't sit there and say, my child knew at 3 years old he was transgender. So I gave him the gift of lopping off his schlong, his little old schlong there. Oh, he was so happy. And then the other, oh, she don't have no breath no more. She had, and then, you know, there's stories out there more and more every day. Protect your kids. My parents allowed this to happen to me. You know, this kid himself, I'm not trans, but he was stuck. He kept the long hair, you know, as a symbol of that, you know. So it's bad parenting, but I don't blame her for lowering up. It's bad commentary by the mainstream media. They want to blame everything on guns. Guns all of a sudden have a life of their own. You know, remember those movies from the 50s, The Brain or The Hand comes alive? You never saw one on the gun shooting itself. I mean, it's stupid, it's ludicrous, but it's typical leftism. And it's why the mainstream media's numbers keep getting worse. All right, G, RFK Jr., HHS secretary, he's launching a federal investigation whether these SSRIs, these transition-related drugs, or psychiatric medications contributing to this violence. A quick story. I suffer from cluster headaches, and I remember getting drugs. And one day I'm on all fours in pain and I'm depressed. And then I had the drugs right there, and I'm just, the side effects, depression, suicide. And I have enough rationalization. I realize, oh my God, this is what depression feels. I knew it was the pills causing it, you know? So I was okay, is my point. I knew what was causing it. But have we ever seen a big pharma commercial? They show the happy family playing with the kids. If they did a real commercial, G, it'd be, wah, wah, oh my God, bleh, you know? Oh, I got cancer in the kidney. Oh, this, I mean, the side effects are massive on all of these, including these psychiatric drugs, with the trauma, with suicide, anxiety, depression. They cause these. That's not up for debate. They cause these. And the reason I was asking G about earlier about the trans committing this is August 27th, 2025. Obviously, the Catholic Church, the Annunciation Catholic Church. March 27th of 2023, the Nashville Christian School shooter. February 11th of last year, the Lakewood Church shooter. That's speculative. He used some male aliases. It was a female, but was consistently identified as female. But it was she was messed up in the head. There's no doubt about that. November 19, 2022, Colorado Springs shooter, non-binary. May 7, 2019, the Denver STEM shooter, trans. September 20th. Oh, looks like we lost G there. Let's see if we can get him back in. There we go. The September 20th, 2018, the Aberdeen shooter, trans. The January 4th, 2024, Iowa school shooter, trans activist. I apologize. I should have put him in chronological order. I didn't. My point is, these are starting to happen more and more often as we've gone to this, let's mutilate our kids or let's go along with this charade. Oh, yes, you're trans. And then we start giving them these drugs and there's no oversight by the parent, the doctors, or the hospital. And that's obvious by the fact we're seeing these shootings. So what? Is the HHS investigation legit? And is this pattern, I'm sorry, we're starting to see? Is that truly a pattern or just coincidence?
Well, patterns, again, like I said before, what the media chooses to focus on. And it's these big shootings that happen. But unreported are the shootings that are interrupted before there's a major loss of life or done by minorities in minority neighborhoods. They completely gloss over that. But look, I'm the father of two teenagers. And I see how hormones, they're not happy little kids anymore. They're brooding, moody boys, right? And that's just right. Natural. Everyone goes through that phase because their hormones are changing and the body takes a while to adjust. So right. Talking about drugs, like you said, with all the side effects, absolutely true. The reason why you take a drug is because you want the main effect to overcome your biggest problem, and you can deal with the side effects, which are in your mind or in the doctor's mind, minor issues, but you want to deal with the major issue, like let's say cancer, right? And you want this drug to kill the cancer before it kills you and the rest of whatever, you know, you are. So absolutely, if you're playing with hormones, you're going to have issues like that. And clearly, you know, people who are trans, they're taking these hormones, their body's not used to it. And the body is a very finely tuned machine, right? Just right. Even being a little low on water, a little dehydrated, everyone knows what that feels like. And you got to go rush to get water.
Right.
You could live for another 24 hours without water, but no, you rush to get the water because you don't like the effects of that. So, I believe people who are trans are more susceptible to mental illness than the average person because you're dealing with their hormones.
Is that why you think we're starting to see this pattern of more and more trans? Combine that with the radical ideology we're seeing from the left pushing this. In fact, this isn't up for debate. It's fact. They have teachers and guidance counselors convincing kids out here in California, oh, yeah, you are trans. Even the gay community is angry because they're saying the kid's gay. He's not trans. There's a difference. So that that T in LGBT has usurped everything, every letter before it. So is it radical ideology combined with that? And to me, it's obvious. I'm like, we can see these side effects. We're looking at a society that uplifts the mentally ill as equals, and there's no checks in place for those who do transition. We both know a transgender individual. From our San Diego politics. And I traveled with this individual. This individual has transitioned from a he to a she. And you know me, G, I have no shame. I asked 10 zillion questions. And I'm not going to reveal what this individual said because it was, you know, one-on-one. But she did confirm the hormones are up and down and how you're messed up in the head, how you really don't know who you are. You're trying to find yourself. And this individual said, that's not a one-time issue. It's not like a phase. It's your whole life, you know, because a true person who is born, say, with female parts and you're male or vice versa, you're dealing with a lot of hormonal. You know, that's natural. But with these hormone drugs, it brings the same effects. Your thoughts before we move on to the community impact.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that in talking to some of my gay and lesbian friends, they just say that they believe they were born this way, right? And so they say that their feelings, their thoughts towards their same gender has been there since birth. Transgender saying, I was born the wrong way. So the way they're born is not correct, right? So there's a conflict in thinking there. And so, yeah, obviously people on the gay and lesbian side, it doesn't help their cause for people to say, well, I was born the wrong way and I need to correct the way I was born, because that goes against the way that they're thinking. But absolutely, I think when you go through the hormone therapy, it does mess with your brain, and you'll be up and down. I mean, I know even women going through menopause, there are hormonal changes. You know, there are issues with, I'm not saying they're mentally ill. I'm saying that their mood swings are, get greater and greater.
Oh, gee, I'm saying they're mentally ill, but I'm not saying they're idiots. I'm not saying they're losers. I'm saying all this is creating a formula that gives us these shooters that are more and more. And again, we're not sitting here saying they're the only shooters, but this is one segment. If we did a better job as a society overall, we would not be seeing happening. Real quick, G, we're going to talk about it in the next segment. But so I'm going to let the audience know that, of course, Minneapolis says crime is down, and it's not a whistleblower with direct knowledge of the internal operations of the MPD, not the Metropolitan Police Department of Washington, D.C. That's the next segment. The Minnesota Police Department operations, that police supervisors routinely downgrade charges to artificially lower crime stats, overriding patrol officers' reports to mislead the public and federal oversight bodies. What does this have to do with trans? They're saying, oh, we're a great society. This is an outlier. No, crime is rampant as well, and this is part of that. And I do know a law enforcement officer who I trained with for 10 years. He was my martial arts instructor, and he told me this is common. This isn't just urban. It's everywhere. Why? Because once you get into the political corporate ladder of law enforcement, it's no different than anywhere else. You want to climb up and be able to say, my numbers are down. My numbers are down. Promote me. Promote me. So he says that's a common tactic. Gee, real quick, concisely, give me your thoughts on that before we close this segment out.
Yeah, I mean, there's that aspect of it. But like I said earlier, people don't want more workload, right? So if you go into a situation and you see someone beat up another person, even if it's badly, they'll turn to the person who got beat up and say, do you want to press charges? I mean, for this incident? I mean, then it's dependent on the person. And there might be, I don't know, I don't have any evidence that persuasion of this is not really worth it, not worth our time, your time, whatnot. So there's that aspect of it as well.
Right, right. Okay, people, I think we've kind of beaten this down. We've made our points. Let us know in the comments, I guess, what you think. Are G and I wrong? I mean, do you guys agree with us? Let us know. But at the end of the day, the Minnesota church shooting tragedy wasn't just horrific. It was preventable. But instead of confronting the ideology, the mental instability, the institutional failures, Democrats mock prayer. They deflect blame and they pivot straight to gun control. It's always about gun control. Their rhetoric fuels chaos. Their policies shield it. And when the blood spills, they exploit it. They won't fix the system. They won't protect the kids. They'll just disarm the people who could and can. So until we stop coddling dysfunction and start demanding truth, this cycle won't break. We're past escalation. It's already here. And it's only going to grow worse. Unless we rise above the rhetoric to say no more, or as us Latinos say, no mas, the bloodshed won't stop. It'll just be rebranded, excused, and repeated. America today, safer, more productive, and on the rise. Oh,
wait,
yeah.
Wait a minute. Before you move on, I need to see the T-shirt.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Thank you, G-Man. So we've got some swag, people.
You used some Spanish, so I got to see the Spanish T-shirt. Oh, we're going with the mug first.
Oh, we got the big mug here. This is a big mug. You know, being an ex-sailor, I was telling my partner, Big John, I said, yeah, this big, this mug compared to my little one is like a porn star compared to the little micro guy. You know? Get your big one, people. Yeah. So you can sit there. In the right-hand corner, we have our QR code. As well as there, you can click, you can, I guess, caption, take a picture of that and head on over to grumlingmedia.com and check out our store. It'll take, the code will actually take you straight to the store. And hell, help support our all volunteer cause. All right, G, let's talk about America on the rise. Our streets are becoming safer. Energy costs are plummeting and borders are tightening. And that's a direct response to decades of unchecked threats from gangs, fentanyl, and economic instability. Why? Because of Trump. Federal intervention, they're delivering rapid results. Even Democrat leaders, Muriel Bowser, are praising the impact. Yet critics like Governor Newsom, Governor Pritzker, who just use us Latinos and blacks and their policies, I challenge you to show me where they've helped us. They do nothing but fuel hate governance, exposing a deeper divide over law enforcement and national priorities. And these developments do show high stakes. Unchecked crime and porous borders, what's that do? It threatens to unravel and destroy communities. See Springfield, Ohio. See any urban center, New York City, Boston, L.A., San Fran. Proven strategies are actually facing resistance from leaders who prioritize ideology over safety and rhetoric over results. The question isn't whether these policies work. It's whether political opposition will stall progress and leave families, leave you, G's family, my family, at peril. G, it's obvious on energy that fossil fuels remain the answer to lowering energy costs. So how can we combine the push toward green while maintaining fossil fuels to keep costs down? California is a great example. Blackouts, because we went to green and dumped fossil. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the easiest solution is to get rid of subsidies. You do subsidies because the economic forces aren't making sense. If you want to get a solar panel, you got to make sure it's cheap enough for you to have an ROI. They're not, so they give you a subsidy from the government to say, okay, well, we'll make it cheaper for you by giving you a tax credit. So now that the subsidies are going away, we'll see what happens with these initiatives. Maybe solar gets cheaper. Maybe the EVs, they get cheaper. But the real answer, and this is not in the notes, is nuclear. And that's unfortunate that in the late 70s or mid 80s, this whole country went anti-nuclear when that would be the cheapest energy. The price per kilowatt would be less than a cent. It's absurd we don't go that route. All of France is that way. Many places in Europe are that way. But yet the United States, we're still on fossil fuels and we're pushing solar panels, which are, I think that's per kilowatt is the most expensive, right, at least in, right, in the original setup.
So, G, talk to me about jobs. Here's what people don't talk about. We open up our oil fields, some mines, you know, more fossil fuel outlets. That's created 12,000 jobs, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's just since June, right? So I think most of the growth has been concentrated in Texas, North Dakota, and Alaska. Huh, I wonder what we have in all three of those states. It's a lot of oil. So I think it's important to revive this. Look, there's a jobs recession, and it's been here since Biden's time. So we're going to see it, I think, in the next jobs report, and they're going to blame it squarely on Trump. But what's happening is he's firing a lot of federal workers, but the private sector is starting to pick up a lot of those. Whereas during Biden's time, it was the government jobs that are going up and the private jobs are going down. So we're going to have a little bit of a jobs recession, but I think doing it in energy is the right place to grow for sure.
Real quick, G brought up nuclear energy. An offshoot of nuclear energy is thorium energy. And we have 3 to 4 times more abundance of thorium. The reactors are considerably much more safer, lower pressures, reduced waste, lower weaponization risk, and it's more efficient. I won't get into how it works, but when people talk nuclear, to me, that is the future. Now, why haven't you heard about thorium energy? talk to the Democrats, and yes, the Republicans too. But you know who has heard about thorium energy? China. And they've got the biggest thorium plant in the world. So that is something we need to be looking at, and we're not looking up. But you're just a little peon, will you? Yeah, but this peon does his research, people. Gee, talk to me about crime and federal crackdown. So when law and order is enforced, crime goes down. Duh. Anecdotal evidence, even back to the stop and frisk New York City time frame. When given the chance, the residents of those actual neighborhoods were like, we love Giuliani. We love the little guy. What was the little guy's name after Giuliani? Bloomberg. We love Bloomberg. They love the stop and frisk. Who didn't like it? The rhinos, the Democrats, the libertarians, all in their suburbs, away from the crime. They've been talking to residents in D.C., and they're like, I love Donald Trump. Now people can sit and say, well, you're racist for talking like that. What are you talking about? I talk like that after a few beers. But my point is you talk to the people there, we want law and order. I come from a country that did not have law and order with two dictators. I understand the importance of law and order. So the results of D.C. speak for themselves, G. Polls are now starting to show those results are wanted. And even Mayor Muriel Bowser sees the truth. I want your thoughts on Bowser.
Look, she's earned not being made fun of because she's doing the right thing, right? She's going to give credit where credit is due, and that's due to Trump. Trump going in there and saying, we've got to be tough on crime and deal with the issue and bring in the National Guard, despite the rest of her party saying, don't say that. We've got to be all anti-Trump. We all got to be TDS.
Okay, G. Talk to me about that. She, Katya, was like, yeah, we appreciate you doing a good job. And she, you said it nicely. She was attacked by her own party. It was like, bleep, get back in your lane. Right. This is how you need to speak. And that's the G. And Big John has told me, don't talk like this. And I haven't for well over a year and a half. But this is what I call the plantation mentality. You can't leave the Democrat plantation mentality of staying on message. She wants to acknowledge the truth. She wants to create bipartisan, or her words are doing it, and the Democrats attack her.
Yeah, so it goes back to what Tulsi Gabbard, when she first went into Congress, she said she went to the Capitol, and they said, this is how we're going to do things, and this is how you act, right? When we say this is what we want to support, you support it. And like you said, it's the plantation mentality. The junior congressmen and women have to do what the upper level ones do. That goes all the way down the Democratic chain. So thank God for her to stand up and say, no, what Trump did was right for my city, my people. If she's more about her people and not her position, then she's going to give credit where credit is due.
Right.
And this is credit is due here. I mean, what was the thing that J.D. Vance said, that there was a murder in D.C. every other day for 30 years, and just in the last 2 weeks, that would have saved 7 people's lives.
Yep.
Just by Trump taking action.
What about your thoughts on the fact that it's now coming out? I said it before. I know somebody in law enforcement retired now. He says it's not just the urban centers, but they're the worst of the law. But they're always fudging the numbers, and it seems to be blatant in these urban centers. A quick comment before we move on to the border.
Right. So think about what a policeman's job is, right? It's to lower crime. So how do you know you're doing your job if crime is getting lowered? So they have a built-in incentive to report things that are favorable, that they're doing their job correctly. And we've said this a couple times during the show, but that goes up to the chief, who might have aspirations to say, hey, look, I want to climb the ladders. Look what I've done in my city. So they're going to downplay everything, right? A shooting is a shooting. Hey, if it's a man and a woman, then it's not a murder, it's just domestic violence. I don't know how they do that, but I can just see that happening. It's sad. It's a sad state of affairs.
And let me add one more caveat. In a domestic abuse scenario, okay, they want you to fudge the numbers or they won't prosecute. So what will happen, somebody will call in. The cops won't even go for two reasons. They know that wife will turn on them when they actually arrest the husband. And two, their superior can say, let it go. So, and the reason they don't bother with it anymore is they say domestic abuse scenarios are some of the worst for a law enforcement officer to get in the middle, because it's nothing but pure emotional hatred, anger, whatever you want to call it, in that situation. It's like, that's when they become donut men. All right, G, illegal border crossings fell 43% from June 30th to August 1st. That caught my eye. The real quick review, May 2025, 8,800 illegal aliens encountered, which was a 93% decrease from 2024. 7,200 illegal entries, a 95% drop in March of 2025 from March of 2024. July last month broke that record again with only 4,600 Southwest border apprehensions. Trump was right. We didn't need new laws. We just needed a new precedent. We're seeing record lows, but critics are still earning their airtime condemning it. How can conservatives and the 80% that agree with us, how can we convince the country to use this to help with the midterms?
Well, I think that it should speak for itself, and they should run ads on it and saying, look, we're enforcing the laws. And I think any reasonable thinking American will say, look, if the law's on the book, then you need to enforce it. If you don't want that to be enforced, then change the law. So that's what they need to run on. This is the law. This is what we're enforcing. And I don't think there's going to be any, okay, so even the ones who hate Trump, I don't think they're going to say, well, let's change the law to let anyone come in at any time. Most of my reasonable thinking Democrat friends, they say, well, we need to have better policies for the illegal immigrants that come through, or they say undocumented workers, but they still believe that we need them, but they won't say we need MS-13. They'll say, well, we need the good, hardworking, and this is not me saying it, housekeepers and tomato pickers. We need those.
They're racist.
They're the ones who, and we've talked about that in previous shows, but it's obviously a plantation owner thinking, but if you're thinking that way, it's just wrong. But even the reasonable ones will say, look, we need to keep the law that everyone can't just come in, but we need to open it up a lot more.
All right, let's jump down to investment surge and economic momentum. Trump has publicly cited $10 trillion in new investment. What we can actually document is $5 trillion. This is a billion. $5 trillion includes a $2.1 trillion in corporate investment and $3 trillion in foreign commitments from Japan, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, the UK, every country. Apple, $600 billion. NVIDIA, $500 billion. Micron, $200 billion. Amazon, $34 billion. Question again, and I think I know the answer, but are we going to get jobs fast enough to help us use this for the 2026? And if because we're starting building factories, outlays, all of that, how do we use this? Same way, lots of advertising.
Yeah, I obviously you have to run commercials on it, but yeah, they need to get that up and running, and I'm sure their Trump administration's clearing all the regulations. But what's happening is, just think Toyota. Toyota, they have not been making Corollas and Camrys over in Japan and shipping them over. They've been making them here. That's what's happening. So it's just bringing the manufacturing of foreign products here so they avoid the tariffs and you have jobs here. So that,
right.
Yeah, whether it happens fast enough, I don't know. But, you know, I'm sure Trump wants that to happen as quickly as possible. And I'm sure they're going to start listing jobs. Even if the factory's not open, they're going to start listing jobs next summer saying, look, hey, advertiser jobs will give you a tax break or whatnot. I don't know, but
right.
They just need to get the word out that this is happening. And I'm sure people in the rural areas, they're seeing bulldozers, creating flat pads to build huge factories on. Right.
I get that, G. But here's a dirty secret: the Democrats just flipped the state Senate seat or assembly seat in a district Trump won by 11. We are getting as much pushback by Rhino Republicans and loser Republicans like Thomas Massie. Why do I say he's a loser? The Big Beautiful Bill, his district got nothing. I find it ironic when people talk about, oh, these politicians, they don't know who to elect, but then they're like, oh, yeah, Thomas Massie. I mean, they gather all over him, and he brings these people nothing. When you have those kind of Republicans who don't actually want to work to actually make life better, when you get the rhinos, they're as bad as the Democrats. And it's showing in the fact when Trump's not on the ticket, we lose. So until we figure out how to overcome, no matter how good it gets, we may be our own worst enemy. Yeah. Gee, real quick. We've got my final swag moment. What do you think of this shirt? You got anything Latino in you, G?
No, but when you use the Spanish earlier, it made me think of the t-shirt.
Exactly. Tiene más macho. Trump es más macho. Who's more macho? Trump is more macho. I love that shirt, people. I'm sorry, I just do. I'll probably get a tweet that with Big John's help there. But again, you check at the corner up here to get our swag. It'll take you straight to our store, or head on over to grumbliesmedia.com and help support our all-volunteer cause. All right, let me close this out here, this segment here. America today is safer, more productive, and on the rise. Our streets are safer, energy costs are dropping, and the border is finally tightening up. But instead of embracing results, Democrats like Governor Pritzker and Governor Newsom, yeah, they're plantation governors. They cry hate while their cities drown in fentanyl, crime, and economic decay. They'd rather protect ideology and indoctrinate than protect families. While Trump delivers conservative wins, he's extended the olive branch, the forged bipartisan solution, when others refuse to even try. And the response? Crickets. This isn't about politics. It's about survival. And if we let their rhetoric of hate and lies override reality, we risk losing the very country we're trying to save. Gee, any final words for the audience?
No, but I just want to have a Gavin Newsom's Kevin Newsom body language if I can.
Oh my God!
I don't know if you've seen that on X. He's like, "We're going to look into this whole COVID thing and see what the government did during that time, and I'm going to look into it before my presidential run."
I remember the Gavin Newsoms in the Navy. They talk a lot of trash and they get beat up and go crying to the command, to the superior officer, after they're the ones who instigated it. Regardless, that's our show, people. Before we go, make sure you hit like or thumbs up and share this podcast. Then bookmark grumbliesmedia.com. Check out our swag over there. We have t-shirts and mugs. And follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, and Spotify under the profile handle Grumblies Media. Until next week, I am William Del Pilar for G Mangani, the G-Man, and Fired Up. Stay safe, and we are out.